East High.
Hello, podcast listeners.
It's Wildcat Minute, where we talk about High School Musical 3, senior year, 1 minute at a time. I'm Condra.
And I'm Tyler.
And today we're talking about minute 75 of High School Musical 3, senior year. Minute 75 starts out with, Troy, just keep on walking down a hallway. Just keep on keeping on. And ends with Troy singing, Just Trust Your Heart, as he leaves the locker room. Or his area of the locker room.
Singing in my High School Musical movie?
What?
More likely than you'd think.
Truly.
So yeah, 75. Congratulations. We made it to the 75th anniversary. What's the gift?
Platinum? No. Is it platinum 6?
Heck if I know.
I don't know.
But here we are.
We're another year older. Another year wiser.
Are we wiser, though? seems like we've just...
descended into madness instead.
At least plateaued. At least we've plateaued.
We're at on most. The down curve.
No, we're on the up and up, just like Troy Bolton here.
Aw,
he's
boy.
Doing great.
He's
doing great.
Time. He's got big feelings. He looks sad at his dad's desk.
Yeah, so he's walking into this back door entrance of the gymnasium part of the school, and it does become clear, like, oh, we've seen this hallway type thing before.
It's the locker
because we
room.
See we see the coach's office room where presumably, I mean, I think we've literally seen Mr. Bolton sitting there, but like that is his desk. And Troy, it's interesting because the framing of the shot, like the trophies are in the window of the office, obviously.
Yeah.
So he's looking through the trophies at where his dad would be. It's like, these trophies don't mean anything to me. If I only wish I had a good relationship with my father, that would be better than a trophy.
I don't know if you can go that far to be like... But I think he's definitely reflecting on the conversation he just had with his dad. And he's like, wow, so close and still so far.
Yeah, we talked about that last week as well. It's like, even with best intentions, like going into a conversation, it can feel like nobody understands and things just go poorly through. Yeah. Sometimes no one's fault.
Sometimes Mike Bolton, so.
It did feel like, we talked about this last minute, it did feel like he was trying to start the conversation like, hey, Troy, like, I thought you wanted this, and it seems like you're avoiding talking about this. Like, can you just tell me, like, if this is something you want or if this is something that you don't want so that I can support you in the best way that you need? Because I thought you wanted this because we've been talking about it since you were a child. But it comes off as, Troy, I'm expecting you to do this.
Yeah.
And any thought in the other direction would disappoint me.
Yeah.
But I don't blame Mike Bolton as much in the conversation as I think Troy does.
Yeah. I think we, as we're on the other side of the teenage brain, and we're like, yeah, we see where Mike is coming from, even if it's not 100% right. And we also see where Troy's coming from, even though it's not also 100% right. And their communication has never been great. So, like, just building on semi-poor communication relationship between the two of them. And if Mrs. Bolton was there, this song would never happen.
Good mediator, but she shouldn't have to be the mediator every time.
No, but I think she could lightly admonish Jack and be like, okay, our son is just having a big feel. That's okay. His girlfriend is far away.
Maybe Troy doesn't know how he's feeling and you're just putting pressure on him.
Mm-hmm. Which we don't want.
The trouble is that it feels like building up to a song like this, you need an emotional fallout. You need...
Yeah, and we had a very unsatisfying one between Gabriella and Troy, a la Walk Away.
The Gabriella-Troy conversation was tricky. The Mike and Troy conversation was also like, I don't think this is quite delivering as hard as you guys think it is, other than the slamming the basketball. But if we compare it to the obvious comparison here, which is Bet on It from High School Musical 2. Mm-hmm. We're building up to this like end of second act, beginning of third act, like dramatic Troy Bolton song, which we didn't really get in the first movie because Get Your Head in the Game is a first act song.
Yeah. Well, I think that in part has to do with the fact that Zac Efron was not singing them at that point.
Yeah. But we're out here talking about Troy's big song, and it's like, I don't know what feeling he's like what feeling the song is really going for, other than just like, it's that time of the movie when Troy sings a big emotional song. And unfortunately, it's just not Bet on It, and you cannot recreate Bet on It.
No, it's not Bet on It, but it is still, the song is still very special for very different reasons than Bet on It.
Yes, and well, and the next minute definitely goes places, and we should definitely save it. It's just tough, though, because like in High School Musical 2, you had Gotta Go My Own Way, and then that leads into Bet on It.
Which, are arguably the best two versions of those songs over the trilogy.
And for as much flack that we gave High School Musical 2 about its plot, like the campiness of the plot led into the campiness of Bet on It.
And
you had the dichotomy of like very serious song being sung in broad daylight. With a boy
the biggest
traipsing
around
a golf course. Like,
and here we've got our dark edgy. It's nighttime. It's thundering and lightning.
He's wearing his hood, but only most of the way up in the Justin Bieber style where he can still see the front of his hair.
Yeah. But then he takes it off to change into his jersey.
Yes. So we see the locker room, and it's the classic framing of the locker room where we're just standing in the doorway. And it's actually a well-framed scene for this entire thing, because the locker room does function as like a theater style, like box setting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cinematic.
We also keep going back there.
Yeah. It's a familiar motif. You're right. Especially because there have been such big scenes in this locker room.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
His locker is directly in the middle. So we get this parallelism. Wes Anderson would be proud.
Indeed.
Recent Oscar winner, Wes Anderson.
Oh, yeah?
He won an Oscar for Best Original Live Action Short with The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. And Wes Anderson had not previously himself won an Oscar before the 2024 Oscar Awards. So
cool.
Just for reference, because we did once cover a Wes Anderson movie.
Indeed. So long ago.
But no. Yeah, Troy... He takes off his shirt, and we get a little bit of shirtless Troy, but only from the back.
Yeah, which is very, like, they really linger on it. They're like, look.
And it's like, do you have to? Do you have to let it linger?
Exactly.
I mean, they had me wrapped around their fingers. I'll give them that. You know I'm such a fool for Troy. Anyway. He puts on his Troy Bolton like game jersey.
Yeah.
Which
champion,
we already have deep
logoed claw.
We already have deep lore about how the Wildcats wear their jerseys, their game jerseys, during practice times a little bit too often.
I think the more I'm sitting on it of his like jersey, it like is artificial identity in the way like that putting on stage makeup and a costume is for plays. Like, it's a uniform, yes, as Mr. Bolton has said before, but like also it's kind of fake identity in some ways.
It's interesting because I was going to comment on he keeps his jeans on.
Yeah.
And just wears the jersey, which doesn't seem like a symmetry. Like, if you want the comfort of being in your, like, athletic garb, then putting your jersey on but not taking your denim jeans off is not going to feel comfortable. It's a look.
It is
something that is like, okay, this is an easy outfit to shoot a music video style musical number in.
Mm-hmm.
But... now that you say that, like, okay, there's something about him wrapping up his identity in his jersey, then you can see how he's sort of half putting on the costume here. He's half in the jersey and half in his normal Troy clothes. And this represents
his head's in the game and his heart's in the song.
His pants are in the song. There's also a Batman idea here. It was like the basketball jersey is when he feels like himself, and every other version of Troy is the mask, perhaps. I mean, that's the sort of pseudo philosophical Batman stuff that doesn't really mean much. But in terms of creating an entry point for investigating the character interior complex feelings here, then I think, yeah, you're right. There's something here about what is Troy looking for when he's putting on this jersey? Is he looking to feel like himself? Is he looking to try on something that he knows is supposed to make him feel good, but isn't?
Is it that last time you pick up your toy and then you're like, you know what? I don't need this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. The last time you put on a baseball glove and then you put it down, and you, from that point on, you never play a baseball game again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. And then he starts singing, really.
Yeah.
He turns around and starts facing the camera in the locker room. And that's when we get the beginning of the song. What is the name of the song?
So this song is Scream. And this is another Jamie Houston.
Okay. I guess we haven't gotten to the screaming part of the song.
No. But I figured I would just do the intro here so that way it's out of the way.
Okay. Yes.
I mean, it's not much of an intro because it's just our basketball boy.
Is it the same guy who wrote Bet On It?
It is not the same. Bet On It was done by two completely random people, which I do, now that I see that, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember us talking about how it was like completely two new people for Bet On It that we hadn't seen before. But Jamie Houston did When There Was Me and You, and he did more in High School Musical too.
Yeah, it's fine. It's definitely a name I recognize, but I want to make sure.
You Are the Music in Me, Every Day. So, like, he normally does some of the, like, he's more, I guess, known for the slower songs. Right Here, Right Now, he did in this movie.
Okay. He's more of, like, the broad Troy and Gabriella songs. And those definitely, yeah, I mean, they can be hit or miss, but usually they hit their mark.
Yeah.
This song's interesting because, obviously, stylistically, it's going for something very different. It's going for a sort of 80s sort of building
power
rock
ballad.
Yeah, not quite power ballad because it doesn't feel like a ballad per se. It's that sort of song that starts soft and then gets loud. And so we're just in the opening soft part right now, I suppose.
Yes.
And he's talking about, you know, when a door closes, the echoes fill your soul.
I feel like this would be, I don't know if you've seen this trend online of the people reading the song lyrics as TED Talks, like as enunciating them as if they were TED Talks. I feel like this would be a funny one.
I haven't seen that, but I can imagine it pretty clearly. That's pretty straightforward comedy premise. I did that when I was in middle school, so yeah. My question is, what door was closed?
Gabriella, his good relationship with his father. Like,
okay.
I don't know. Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little bit of both here. Like, I feel like there is some Gabriella feelings. Like, he was being big and bold to be like, yeah, Gabriella, you do your thing, and I'm so proud of you. But, like, it still hurts. Just because his girl, like, just because he says he's okay, it still doesn't mean he's not going to be sad.
Love hurts, Condra.
Love scars.
Love wounds.
Love Mars? I never know what the last word.
It is Mars.
Which never made any sense to me as a child. Which
to mar is an uncommon verb. But yes. It would be funny if this one song was a jukebox musical, like old, previously established song, then the rest of the movie was original numbers.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd like that.
It would be funny. It wouldn't be good.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but
the echoes fill your soul. They won't say which way to go. The echoes are now cognizant. They are more than just echoing. They are speaking.
Well, what I was going to say, and I like the echoes fill your soul as like a poetic metaphor line. Like that is a good line. It's not really at all cliche. It's original enough.
Yeah.
But the reason why I commented on the doors closing, because usually doors as like a metaphor for opportunity.
Open.
I mean, yes, they can open or close. Famously, when one closes, another one opens.
Weird how that works.
But I just felt like because your response was that the doors maybe represented, you know, his relationships with Gabriella or his father, but that doesn't seem like it would fit traditionally with where that metaphor would go. The doors would seem to represent like his opportunity to play basketball in college or his opportunity to go sing at Juilliard or
this chapter of his. I mean, it could be even broader and be like this chapter of his life. Like he's coming to the end of his high school basketball career or high school in general. And like now he's just left with all these memories.
Yeah, again, that doesn't feel like a door closing metaphor of like time running out in your specific phase of your life. So, I mean, we've talked about it before where it's like some of these songs are obviously just written to deliver on a proposed emotional moment in a movie, even if they don't nail the individual character nuances that person is going through.
Mm-hmm. Missing the context in which the scene is taking place, so it seems vaguer than necessary.
The idea of feeling like you lost something and the echoes filling your soul and not knowing which direction to go in, even though a bunch of people are telling you and suggesting things to you, is one that we've gotten before, but you know, it's simple enough. It works as a central message for a song. Again, if we go back to Bet on It, it felt a little clearer.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's always talking at me. Everyone's always trying to get in my head. But the song built to a confidence, right? I'm not going to stop. That's who I am. Like, you can bet on me. It's like, I believe in myself even if nobody else does.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe this song will build to that idea. So we just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, we've gotten very, very minimally in this song.
It is rare for a High School Musical song to maybe like have an arc.
Yeah.
From A to B.
Mm-hmm. Because even like Breakin' Free, I feel like has a baby arc. Like it's more in their acting that there's an arc, but the lyrically,
like they start alone and then they're together. Yeah.
Yeah. Lyrically though, not so much.
Gotta Go My Own Way was all pretty consistent, like lyric wise, but it at least had the progression of like Troy running up in the middle and being like, but wait, and then Gabriella leaving. Yeah. What about trust, Condra?
You know, I never want to hurt you.
But yeah, again, we haven't gotten enough of this song to really contextualize it. But I worry that it's going to be a whole song of Troy feeling bad about himself and that not really taking us anywhere.
Will we soar? Like,
oh.
Will we fly?
What?
I asked, will we soar? Will we fly?
Just because, like, in this moment, right, it's just about, like, oh no, I'm lost. I have lost an opportunity and everyone's talking at me. And sorry, I mixed the two songs.
Yeah. He's uncertain. I think there's uncertainty, which is unusual for a Troy song. Usually Gabriella is our uncertain one.
And it's very Greek tragedy to have a whole song that is just lingering in an emotion.
Oh, definitely.
But I'm not saying that it's a bad thing for a movie musical or any musical to.
You famously complain about non-progressive plot songs that, like, the songs that linger.
I complain that, like, every single song in High School Musical doesn't move anything forward ever.
Except for Gabriella's songs.
Well, no, the Gabriella songs are, I feel like, are the notable exception is when she sings When There Was Me and You, it's like, okay, this whole song would be wasted time in the sense that it doesn't move her forward. It just says, oh, Gabriella's sad. Okay, we get it. But it's like, no, like that, those songs like earn their time because they're so well acted and performed. But when you get every single song that's kind of like, okay, let's linger in this emotion or let's just have fun with it. I think the songs that I complain about are more like the Sharpay songs. And like Fabulous is worth its time. But I think this I Want It All song from this movie is a little bit like, okay, I'm glad that you went for something big, but you took up a lot of time in the movie and nothing new happened. We knew that Sharpay was ambitious and selfish.
But she converted Ryan in that song.
Yeah. I get, so, yeah, I think it's when every song is a little bit slow in taking us to the next point. Because then you have to take a beat and be like, okay, now to the next scene. And then the next scene is clunky dialogue because the songs took up all the time that now we needed to advance the plot in these little interstitial scenes.
But do you have any prediction of where this song is going to go?
I guess I would hope that the song does lead to a sort of internal resolution of Troy's character, like that he decides that this is who he wants to be or this is how he wants to present himself to the world. And maybe he rips up his basketball jersey or
just like maybe Hulk style.
That would be great. Maybe he rips up the Juilliard flyer.
Oh, snap. Is that secretly in his pocket?
But I guess that would be what I would hope for. I like, at the end of the minute here, like I said, with the framing, Troy basically approaches to the doorway of the locker room where it's like this sort of grated fence type deal. And he's basically got both of his arms like up against the sides of
he's
the frame.
Grabbing the frame.
And it's good because it sort of moves us from like medium shot to medium close up.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a very good job of not looking at the camera.
Yeah, no. Zac Efron is killing it. This song is very entertaining for him.
And I don't mean to talk a big game for like, hey, this song's terrible because it's not doing what songs are supposed to do. I hope that I'm just talking more philosophically about what songs have been successful in the past. And what songs haven't been. It really, at the end of the day, is the song a bop or not? And this song is not a bop. It is building up to the point where it could be.
Could we bop to the top here?
I like a song that starts slow and then builds to something cool. I mean, it's a cheap trick, but it works. Like
cheap trick does it.
Yeah, maybe this song was ghostwritten by Cheap Trick.
No, definitely not.
Well, anything else you wanted to add? I know you know what the song is, so you don't want to.
Yeah. The burden of knowing.
The burden of knowledge.
Well, until next time, you can find us on social media. We're at Amateur Nerds on Instagram.
At Wildcat Minute on Tumblr.
You can send us an email to amateurnerdspresent@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite 80s power ballad slow to fast song is.
Sail Away. Carry On My Wayward Son. There's just so many options.
Yeah, there's good ones. Yeah.
There's so many options. It's like kind of my jam of 80s music is like that kind of music, so...
Good.
Special thanks to our artist, Theo Golden, at T Golden Art on Instagram.
And our musician, Joe Winslow, whom you can find at joewinslowmusic.com.
I have been Condra.
And I've been Tyler. We'll see you next time to find out if the fast part is coming. Everyone loves the fast part. You can bet on it.